We are carrying on in our series on the I Ams. So if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we started looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus. And we began with pointing out how important it is that we know who this I Am is. How prone we are to thinking that we are the great I Am and the world revolves around us. And we build our lives upon ourselves. But then Jesus comes in and says, no, I am the great I Am. Build your life upon knowing me rather than upon yourself. And so it is in this vein that we plan to move forward with these sermons, building our life through knowing our God, knowing Christ, knowing the great I Am. For as Jesus himself said, this is eternal life, knowing God. So last time we looked in John 6 at how Jesus is the bread of life. And we began with the phrase, I am, and ego eimi, which is Greek for I am. And God the Father used that in the Old Testament. And Jesus used it here as well, referring to himself as being God. And we saw how Jesus was our food, our sustenance, that he was our life, our substitutes. He was our kingly host, wasn't he? He invites us to the table to come and take and eat of life. Today, we're going to look at the next I am, which is, I am the light of the world. Now, all over John's Gospel, there is a running theme of light and of darkness. Some of you will remember back in December when I led the prayer meeting, and we're looking at that powerful section of John chapter 1, weren't we, verses 1 to 18. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. And in making the point that we need lights, that we can't really live without lights, I used an illustration of how I was often harassed as a youngster for leaving lights on around the house. And so I had to try and learn to walk around these dark corridors with the lights off. But I wasn't really able to do it without the odd, stubbed toe. And it's kind of similar in that way to the Old Testament, in the way that we can sort of see an outline, we can feel around in the darkness and get an idea for what is in the room with us, but we can't quite see it. And then when the New Testament opens up and the Word became flesh, the light turns on. Nothing's added, nothing's been changed. We just now see things for how they truly were. And that light, of course, was Jesus, the light of the world. So today we're going to look into something of that light of the world in action, doing what he does best, illuminating who God is and exposing who we are. So John 8 verse 12, read it, didn't we? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now this is a really exciting saying, isn't it? It's very visual. And we think, wow, what's going to happen next is going to be some kind of a long discussion about light and darkness and the light side and the dark side, as it were. What's going to happen? And then we read the next verse, and it says this. So the Pharisee said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. And we think, oh, okay. And then for the entire next chapter, light and darkness is not mentioned once. And we think, well, that's a bit of a diversion, isn't it? But where have we gone? What's happening? Why isn't light and darkness being talked about? What's all this witness stuff? What does that have to do with Jesus being the light of the world? And initially, I was quite confused by it. I didn't understand how it all tied in. But we're going to look later on at how it does. It isn't actually a diversion, but actually it's the main highway of Jesus being the light of the world. But first, we're going to think just about a few preliminary things that Jesus being the light of the world means. Okay? Firstly, I am, as the light, is a fulfillment of prophecy. Okay, the fulfillment of prophecy. Psalm 37, verse 9 says this, for with you, God, is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. So there we have life and light in the same verse. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So it's saying that God, through Jesus Christ, is bringing light and life into this dark world. There's prophecies of Messiah as well being fulfilled, as well from Isaiah 42, about the Messiah. Secondly, I am is the only light of life that this world needs. I am is the only light this world needs. In many ways, think about creation in Genesis. This world is uncreating itself. Think about it. The world was dark, was formless, was void, and darkness covered the waters. Think about how dark the world is now. So full of sin and evil and suffering. It's as if we are uncreating ourselves. We are removing the goodness of God's life and creation. And we need light. We need life. And Jesus is that light by which God says, let there be light. And there was light, and the light was good. And so Jesus Christ is the light of life that is recreating the world, bringing goodness and righteousness back into its place. Light and life is not produced by better education, environmentally friendly laws, better equality, less poverty, things like that. I mean, yeah, great, we can all be more equal, but we're still equally in darkness. We need light. We need life, and that is what this world needs. And that is who Christ is. Thirdly, I am as the light casts out the darkness. It casts out the darkness. Think about it. Whenever you turn on a light in a room, what happens? The darkness immediately vanishes. It's gone. It's pushed out. It must leave. Now, one day, the full and blazing light of Jesus Christ will consume the entire world as the waters cover the sea. There's not going to be a cave or a pit or an underground bunker that's going to be hidden from the light. It will pierce through everything. It will expose everything, and it will push the darkness out. All of evil, all of sin, all of every hidden act of terror and darkness will be cast out as the light of Christ shines when he returns. It's a wonderful thing that all sin will be cast out. Look at this for a moment from Malachi chapter 4. Malachi 4 verses 1 says this. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing on its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. For those of you here who are early risers and get to see the sun breaking out each morning, it's a glorious thing, isn't it? Seeing day approach. I was once camping out on the beach overnight over in Aldborough, and as morning started to approach, you could see on the horizon of the water this sort of orange hue that sort of captivated the edge of the water. And it kind of started to centralize more and more and more and get closer and brighter. And suddenly this sort of burst of light kind of comes smacking out across the water and smacks you in the face. This awesome ray of light as the top of the sun starts to rise out over the edge of the sea. And all around you, the darkness is on the retreat. It's getting lighter and lighter and brighter. And the darkness is just going away. And the night is now over. The morning has come. Now, in many ways, right now on Earth, even though it's what, 20 past 11 in the morning, we're in darkness. The world right now is in darkness, but it's getting brighter. The day is soon approaching. The day of the Lord is coming nearer and nearer. And the darkness is being cast out as the world is set ablaze in God's light. But also within that, those who are of the darkness are being cast out. Jesus as the light of the world is kind of like a searchlight in a prison, the prison wall. And as the prisoners are escaping and the light catches us in our sin. There I am with swag bag over shoulder and stripy jumper. I've been caught. The light has exposed me in my sin. John chapter 3 says this, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light lest his works be exposed. For men love darkness rather than light. That is why so many people hate Jesus. It's why so many people hate us as Christians. They hate Jesus because they think he's intolerant, he's cruel, judgmental. Why? Because he exposes sin. He's a light that shines when we are hiding in the dark with our sins. He exposes us where we are. And so as the light of dawn breaks out from the horizon and casts out the darkness, so does that same light cast out those who are of the darkness. That is why Jesus says in Matthew 8:12, hell is outer darkness. That is where those who are of the darkness are cast off forever and ever and ever and ever. And that is a harsh warning for those of us here who are still in the dark. That is our destiny on our current path if we don't step into the light. But John 3 again, whoever does what is true comes to the light so that what he does may be seen and carried out in God. Malachi 4 again, but for you who fear my name, the Sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. If you go out for a walk on a cold morning, and as you perhaps walk past the hedgerow or something or a wall, and you come out of the shade into the light, and the sun is there shining brightly, and you feel the warmth on your face, it's as if it brings healing, doesn't it? That is what it will be like when Christ returns. As the darkness is being cast out and those of the darkness are being cast out, for those of us who have received the light and have been longing for the light, it will be like healing upon our face as we see Christ rising on the horizon. Now, fourth thing that Jesus being light of the world means. I am as the light makes sense of the darkness. If you're in the dark, you're lost, you're confused. You don't know what's going on, do you? You're stumbling about, it's confusing and meaningless. And I haven't got to preach to you about the darkness of the world, do I? Or the suffering that we so often face, of the pain that we face, of the darkness all around us. And very often it can just seem so senseless, so meaningless. What's all this darkness all about? Why am I living and experiencing this? It can feel so chaotic. You can feel like a blind man who's been blindfolded twice in a dark room looking for a black cat that left 4 months ago. You feel hopeless and lost in the darkness. Like you're walking a valley of the shadow of death. But if you are walking in a dark valley, what do you need? What did we sing earlier? A lamp unto thy feet, Psalm 119. That is who Christ is. He is a light to be shone amongst us in the darkness. With a light, I know where I've come from. I know where I am, and I know where I'm going. I know that I was once a sinner, lost and dead in darkness, going to my death. Now I once was blind, but now I see. What do I see in the future? But the celestial city burning brightly and shining and beckoning me to come. When I see that and I can see where I've come from, where I am, where I'm going, I can make sense of the darkness that's around me. When the darkness comes in closer and the suffering bids me that all is lost and hopeless, what does the light say to me? The light says to me that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. The light says to me that though it was meant for evil, God meant it for good. And so with Jesus as the light of the world, we can make sense of the suffering and the darkness that's around us, as he is that light and that lamp that guides us in the way. Now, fifthly, and this is where we're going to hang our hats and delve more into the text. I am is the light who reveals God. I am is the light who reveals God. Verse 13. So the Pharisee said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I am the Father who sent me. In your law is written the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. And so we think, well, what's this got to do with being a light of the world? How does this even tie in? You know what I'm going to say? Context. So important. Big theme of witnesses in John's gospel. It's kind of like a court scene, and we're on trial. And John is presenting to us again and again and again throughout the book different witnesses that are testifying to who Christ is, the Messiah, the I Am. He shows another witness that is testifying against us that we have no excuse. as the Jews had no excuse. And so there's a parallel discussion over in John chapter 5. This is really important. John chapter 5 and verse 30. Look there for a moment. Jesus says that I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. So the Pharisees have that discussion from earlier on in mind, and they think, well, hang on, Jesus said back then, if he bears witness about himself, he is not true. Here he is in John chapter 8, saying he is the light of the world. He's contradicting himself. He's a liar. He's deceiving us. We've caught him now. That is what the Pharisees are doing in this situation. Now, is Jesus contradicting himself? No, not at all. Jesus meant that if his testimony, his witness, comes from himself alone, in isolation of any other witnesses and of the Father especially, then yes, his testimony is not true. But that isn't what's happening here in John chapter 8. Verse 17, he says that the law says that two witnesses make a true claim. And who's he witness with? The Father. Look at verse 18. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. But the Pharisees go back to John chapter 5, and they completely pull him out of context, and they say, ha-ha, we've got him. Even though John chapter 5, Jesus says he has John the Baptist as a witness, he has the Scriptures as a witness, the Father as a witness, and his own signs as a witness. All these things are declaring and showing them and witnessing of who he is. Now, what are these witnesses? What are they? They are lights, okay? The witnesses are lights. Think about what a witness does. A witness casts light on a dark situation. A witness makes something that is murky and unclear clear. They bear witness and bear light on a situation. That is what a witness is. So Jesus, as the light of the world, is bearing witness. He's showing that light of himself and of the Father. The Father is bearing witness of the Son through the Scriptures, through John the Baptist, through all these different things, the prophets, and they're declaring of each other of who they are. So Jesus has all these witnesses testifying that he is who he says he is, that he is that true light. But the Pharisees tragically clutch at straws and try and divert away from Jesus being the one who reveals who God is. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what we're doing, isn't it? We're trying to know who God is over these sermons, to understand who he is, to know who the I Am is. Jesus is the one who is revealing the I Am. You can't know someone when the light's off, can you? If the lights are off, who's there? Who's speaking? Is it friend or foe? But as Jesus, the light of the world, he sheds lights. He declares, he testifies, he witnesses of who God is. Who knows you better than yourself? No one, okay? You know yourself the most. Who knows God the most? God does. And so God, the Son, who knows God completely and perfectly, he has seen the Father. He comes and testifies and declares of what he has seen and heard. And the Son bears witness of the Father. So it is through this mechanism that we can know God's. Through this witness of the light of the world. Let's push on, look at verse 21. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, this is really powerful, you are from below, I am from above, you are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins unless you believe, and it's literally I am, unless you believe that I am. Don't receive the deception that the devil will give you in saying that, yeah, your Mormon friends, your Jehovah's Witness friends, they're okay. They're trusting in Jesus, so they're going to be okay. They deny that Christ is God. Jesus says, unless you believe that I am, you will perish in your sins. Now, why is it that those cults and the Jews don't receive Jesus as the I am? Well, let's keep reading. Let's find out. Look at verse 30. He was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, the son remains forever. So, if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. Now, why is it they haven't got real belief? Why is it that they're going to kill him? Why is it that they haven't received the witness? Why haven't they received the truth? The answer is because they are of their father, the devil. Look at verse 39. They answered him, our father. But Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd be doing the works that Abraham did. And we heard from Stephen, haven't we, that Abraham was the man of faith. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. That's not what Abraham did. You're doing the works of your father. And they said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. They're basically making a jibe at Jesus that he's a bastard. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my words. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Think about Genesis 3. There's the godly line who came through the woman, right? It's the seed of the woman who would be at enmity with the seed of the serpent. That's what's going on here. Look at verse 46 finally. Which one of you convicts me of sin? I tell you the truth. Why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. In other words, the reason they don't believe the truth is because their father is not of the truth. He's a liar. The devil stands in lies, so do his children. And what I find so terrifying about that is the Bible says that that's where I was standing. That's who I was. That there was once a time in my life when I could have been standing there in the story and Jesus is describing me. Because I didn't accept the truth either. I didn't bear to hear his words either. There was no truth in me either. I was being carried around in my own darkness, following the prince of the power of the air, dead in my transgressions and sins, loving darkness rather than light. We were all by nature children of wrath. I was doing the works that my father did, the one who was a murderer from the beginning. And what do the Pharisees go and do? Look at verse 58. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. The light is there. The witness is there. The light of life is shining face to face. Their Lord and their God. And they tried to kill him. They were doing the exact same thing that they would have had their father do. The exact same thing the devil would try and do. They do not receive the witness. Now, as I looked over this whole passage and tried to sort of come to terms with it, understand it as a big picture sort of thing of this witness stuff with the Son and the Father bearing witness of each other and of those who reject that witness, How does that all tie in with the big picture of the Bible, of the gospel, of salvation, of the church and of us individually? How does it all work and why? Why all this to start off with? And I was driving to church Thursday morning, a lovely day, and a light bulb went off, as it were, and I just thought, I understand it now. The Son bears witness of himself and of the Father. The Father bears witness of the Son through the prophets, the scriptures, John the Baptist. This is my Son whom I am well pleased. He's bearing witness of the Son. Now with the Pharisees, it stops there. That's it. They didn't receive the witness. They didn't receive the light. Now why is it that we have received that light? Why is it that we have received the testimony of the Son and the Pharisees didn't? How is that possible? Hebrews 10:15. The Spirit bears witness to us. Romans 8:16. The Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Son, the light of the world, testifies and illuminates the Father by the Spirit, who testifies and illuminates to us that we are no longer children of wrath, no longer children of the father of lies, but children of God. What is it to receive the gospel and to follow Jesus in the light of life? It is to see and to receive the light of the Trinity. The I Am shining into our hearts and giving us communion with the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. And it is all by grace, because the Spirit has changed us, because we were once those who loved darkness. The Spirit comes upon us, changes our hearts. Now I love light. It is by grace that the dawn has come and the night is cast out. It's a 2 Corinthians 3, wonderful verse. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Those who sin are slaves to sin. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 4. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. To become a Christian is to see the light of the world, the face of Jesus Christ, and to indulge yourself into the eternal Trinity. Isn't that marvelous? Amen? That is incredible. Now, in application, just look. Where do I look? Go to verse 28. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. The crucified and risen Christ is the greatest witness, the brightest light of the I Am in all of his glory. For our sake, God made him who knew no sin, who knew no darkness, to become darkness. So, the light of God, that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness covered the whole land and the light of the world was extinguished for 3 days. All that so that I may know my God through that witness. If you want to know the I Am, you must receive the witness of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit by looking to the cross. And then to round everything up, at the end of the story, it all ties together perfectly. What is the very next thing we find in John chapter 9, after Jesus escapes the stoning? Look at John chapter 9. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it wasn't this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God may be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. All ties in. Here was this man who had never seen the light of day ever. He was born blind. And the light of the world shines through the darkness. and opens his eyes. I once was blind, but now I see. Christian, we are like that man. We are like that blind beggar, never have seen light in our whole life. And the triune God shines into our heart through the face of the crucified Christ. And now Jesus is no longer in the world, is he? But his spirit resides within us. And what does Jesus say that we are now in Matthew? You are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill. Shine your light before others so that your good deeds and so that they may see your good deeds and your Father who is in heaven may be glorified. So Christian, walk in the light. Walk in the path that Christ has set before you with the lamp. It's all there. You are now the light of the world to bear witness of the light that you have seen, the crucified Saviour. That is what you are now called to go and do, to not be children of darkness and of wrath, but children of light, the children of God. Now shine that light around the world. Stop going back to the darkness, as we all are so prone to do, aren't we? To go back to our sins. No, walk in the light. Bear witness of that light. Bear witness of what you've seen and heard. Now to unbelievers, to people who have not received that light, I speak to you urgently. Look at John chapter 12. Jesus says this. John chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Every single time that the gospel is preached here in this place, or when you sit down with a Christian relative or friend and the gospel is declared, again and again and again that happens. The sun is rising, the light is there, the orange hue comes and shines out. The light is here every single time the gospel is preached, and you're there over in the corner in the dark, with your hands over your eyes saying, "There is no light. There is no light." It's a false witness. Let's just pray now. Let's just pray. Lord, I just do pray that those who are in this place who have not yet received the light, that you may shine into their hearts with the Holy Spirit. They may see the glory of the risen Christ, who changes souls, Lord, that are just so in, who just want darkness, love darkness, children of darkness. Lord, may your spirit move in this place amongst the children, amongst the young people who have not seen the light. Lord, pull the hands down, remove the veil, so that they may see the light of the world and be saved. Lord, please do a work amongst us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing now.